Father, thank you so much for today and this time with my sisters. What a blessing it is to stand together and to worship you. I love sitting back there and hearing all of the voices come together and being lifted up in praise to you. It is so moving and just so nice to be, you know, with like-minded sisters who love you and worship you and praise you. And we pray today as we get into the word, Lord, that you bless our conversation, that you bless our setting, that you bless our time together. We thank you for all the things that you are doing in our lives, and we just pray that you are with us this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I didn't grow up attending Sunday school very often. My family was very into sports, so on a Sunday we were either found at one of my siblings' sports games or at one of my own. See, I wasn't there very often at Sunday school, so I don't know a ton of the Sunday school songs. But something that I've really enjoyed as being a mother is getting to learn those songs, getting to learn some of the Sunday school songs, either through what my kids are learning in class or what we're playing at home with the kids. And one of my kids' favorite songs, and a song that I've actually really liked because it's a lot of fun, is the Fruit of the Spirit song. Does anybody know that song? So it's a really funny kind of song. So it like starts and goes like, the fruit of the spirit is not a watermelon or something. It just like, it screams a random fruit and it goes, the fruit of the spirit is not a watermelon. If you want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, oh. And it repeats that over and over again. And it's a lot of fun. My kids get up and dance and sing it. And it's brought about a lot of good conversations with them as well. My four-year-old, you know, will ask, well, what does it mean to have love? What does it mean to have joy and peace? So it's been, you know, a lot of fun to not only sing and learn these songs with them, but to see how the Lord is speaking to them through these fruit of the Spirit. And I think that's something that's so special about the fruit of the Spirit is that it's something that, you know, even the little ones can begin to learn and understand, and that the Lord is working internally in their hearts. And then even us, he's still working in our hearts on them. The fruit of the Spirit, which is listed in Galatians 5, is the things of the Holy Spirit grows within us. So it's these internal things that the Spirit is working on and growing in us. And then another list that we're going to be looking at today, we'll call it the things above list, which is listed in Colossians 3, are these fruit in action. So it's what the inner changes that the Spirit does in our heart looks like. What we clothe ourselves in through our obedience and our renewal in Christ. So today we're going to be doing something slightly different than we've done in the past. We are concluding our 2-year study of Woman Through the Bible. It's been a really long study, but we've got to go through a lot of really unique women and hear their stories. And so today we are going to be talking about how the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5 connects to the things that we should be focusing on above in Colossians 3. And then we are going to connect that to a woman in scripture who displays those qualities well. So we're going to be going through a ton of different women, but I'm really excited for, you know, how the Lord connects these and how we see our women in scripture display these. We'll start by reading Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So previously in Galatians 5, it has a list of works of the flesh. And these work of the flesh, it says, are evident. These sins, these things that are flesh does inside of us, you can see, you know, the jealousy, the envy, the strife, all of these things that we sometimes feel inside of us that the flesh gives us are very evident. It's clear when we are feeling those things. And these are, you know, our internal state can be influenced by this flesh. It's easy because we have the flesh trying to pull us away from the Lord. So it's easy for our internal state to be influenced by that flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit can conquer the works of the flesh. It is through that fruit of the Spirit that we can have those fleshly desires so we have internally be conquered. John 15:5 talks about how I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is who bears much fruit. And I think that is a really good picture of this. When we abide in Christ, when we are abiding in him, then we can bear this fruit. So that's the Galatians passage I forgot to put up earlier. Then we can bear this fruit, and it's fruit that is only comes from abiding in the Lord, from being devoted to him in his study and in his word. And this fruit, you know, just like the fruit that we eat, is nourishing. It's nourishing to us. It helps us be better. It helps us follow the Lord better. It, you know, overcomes the works of the flesh, but it's also nourishing to the other people, the people around us, because when we allow the fruit of the Spirit to take root in us, it affects and changes how we act, how we think, how we relate to other people. And we'll see that in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the things that are listed in Colossians 3, the things above, are things that we can only seek if we have previously been raised with Christ. So if we've been raised along with Christ, this is the gospel. If we have trusted in Christ's death and resurrection and what that means for us, then we are raised with Christ. And if we are raised with Christ, then we ought to be seeking the things above. So if we have been saved through grace by faith, then we ought to be seeking those things above. The word seeking means to devote serious effort to realize one's desire or objective. It's describing our current state as a command to our current actions. Our life is currently in association with Christ if you've been raised with him. It's in communion with Christ. It should be being transformed and grown in Christ. And we are continually encouraged that Christ is our current reality, to live every day seeking the things above, continually charged with encouraging our brothers and sisters in this way. So if we've been raised with Christ, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your mind should not be on these earthly things, the things of the earth, the earthly desires, but it is on Christ above. And the image that this passage gives is these are holy qualities to put on. Like, think of like putting on a robe. So you take off the worldly desires, the worldly actions, and then you put on these holy things that are above. And that we do because of Christ, because of our relationship with him, because of what he did for us on the cross. And that is directly connected to the fruit of the Spirit. If we have trusted in the Lord, we have the Spirit inside of us, sanctifying us, working through us. So we are growing internally in those fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then that's how our internal state is being changed. So then externally, we are actively putting on the things above, putting on these qualities and walking in them day in and day out. So now we're going to go through, and sorry, that's kind of small. We're going to go through each of those fruits of the Spirit, and we're going to connect it to some of the qualities from the Colossians 3 passage, and we'll talk about some of the women who display those qualities. So the first fruit of the Spirit, love. If we have love internally growing in us, what does that externally look like? It looks like we are actually putting on love, offering love to others. We are forgiving them. We're bearing with others. And a woman who displays this is Mary, the mother of Jesus. How does she display this? Well, when first she gets the call to bear Christ, she's engaged, she's not even married, and she knows that getting pregnant out of wedlock could end her engagement to Joseph. And then it could change everything societal for her. Society could look down upon her. They're going to talk about her. It could, you know, exile her. She could have no spouse in the future because of this one thing. But she loves the Lord. She loves God. And so she embraces God's calling with love and devotion. She then shows motherly love to Jesus throughout his life, throughout his ministry. We get little glimpses of her, of her connection to Jesus and her deep love for God. We see her at the cross when Christ dies. And then we see her later again in the story when Christ resurrects. She stays with the disciples and she prays with them. She is devoted to her love to Christ and her love to God. And we see that displayed in her life. So when we internally have that fruit of love and we put on these things above, what does that look like for us today? It looks like we have compassionate, sacrificial relationships with other people, where we are showing them that love that Christ has for us because we've experienced that love and we extend it further to them. When we have joy internally, we put on thankfulness, singing psalms and hymns, worship, and gratitude. A woman who displays this is Miriam. After the Israelites had escaped from Egypt, they crossed through the Red Sea. She joyfully leads the woman in a song of gratitude through worship. She praises God for delivering them. You know, it's interesting because later on in Miriam's story, we do see her have moments of complaining a little bit, questioning Moses' authority, but then she gets restored after that. And the Lord mentions her alongside Moses and the work that he did in getting the Israelites out of Egypt. But she has this joy and this worship for the Lord for what he has done in her life. When we have those things, what does that look like? It looks like we have a celebration and a gratitude that glorify God. Every day we are walking and expressing and displaying this celebration, this gratitude. And the focus is God's glory, God's goodness. Peace. When we have the spirit of peace internally, what does that look like? Well, we will put on, actually, you know, externally showing that peace. We'll have thankfulness. We'll do everything in Christ's name. I think Hannah displays that really well. Hannah longs to have a child, and her husband's other wife is having children. And she's a little distraught about that because she wants a child herself. But then she finds peace in prayer and in worship. She trusts the Lord. She trusts God before she even sees her promise of a child being fulfilled. She dedicates her son Samuel back to the Lord before she even knows for sure if she is going to have him. And she, after she spends that time in prayer and in worship, she has the peace of the Lord. When we have these things, what does that look like? It looks like a calm confidence in God's will. We're not wavered. We're not really upset and anxious one moment, but we're calm. We're steady. We are confident in God's will. No matter what is happening in our lives, we are steady. We know God's plan will prevail. Patience. When we have patience internally, what does that look like externally? Well, it looks like we also display patience, and we're able to bear with others. Sarah displays this well. Sarah gets the promise to have a child in her old age, and honestly, initially, she's not very patient. First, she laughs at God, and she says, "Ha, I'm too old to have a child," and then she gets on board with the Lord's plan, but it's taken too long. So she takes matters into her own hands and has her maidservant have a child on their behalf. That gets a little sticky, gets a little messy, and then she later goes back and sees that she needs to stick and have faith with the Lord. And so she grows in this patience, and later she does see God's promise fulfilled. She waits on God's promise for many, many years, learning to trust his faithfulness. It's a process, but she did have that patience in the end. And so for us, when we have patience and when we put on those things above, that looks like an enduring grace in difficulty. We're able to have this grace. Again, we're able to have that peace listed above, that steadiness in a difficult moment. When God gives us an answer and we're waiting on it, when we're in a period of waiting, we can have that grace in the difficult situation. Kindness. When we have a kindness internally, then we put on and we show a compassionate heart. We externally show kindness. We show humility. The Shunammite woman displays this well. So the prophet Elisha is coming through her town, and she decides to make a room for him at her home. Furnish it, it's just his room. So whenever he's coming through town, he can stay there. She will give him a place of rest, and she feeds him. So she welcomes him into her home. She shows hospitality, compassion, and care. And then later on, she's blessed with the miraculous birth and restoration of her son. So when we have kindness internally and we put on the compassionate heart, the humility, and we're showing kindness, what does that produce for us? Well, then we have a tender care for others. We care for people like Christ cares for him. It's this gentle, loving care. We want to take care of them. We want to serve them. We want to be hospitable to them. We reflect Christ's character in that way. Goodness. When we have the fruit of the spirit of goodness internally, externally, we put on doing everything in Christ's name. That's what it looks like. Everything that we do in Christ's name. And we are able to offer forgiveness. Ruth, I think, displays this well. So Ruth loses her husband. He dies. And then her mother-in-law says, "You stay here in your hometown. I'm going back to my hometown." And Ruth says, "No, I am going to go with you. Your God is my God." So Ruth goes with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to where her mother-in-law is from. And then she gleans in the fields to take care of her mother-in-law. And while she is in these fields, she is known for her godly character, for her goodness, for who she is and for that character. She lives with a noble integrity and loyalty, reflecting God's goodness through her actions. Through her actions in the field, how she's relating to the servants in that field, how she wants to take care of her mother-in-law. And then even after we see she gets married again, she continues to take care of her mother-in-law. So what do these things produce in us when we have these things? That looks like we have a righteous character and we have integrity. So it changes our character. We want to be held upright, and we do everything with integrity. Faithfulness. When the fruit of the spirit of faithfulness is being at work inside of us, we put on, we externally show the things of teaching and admonishing and wisdom and of thankfulness. Priscilla displays this well. She faithfully taught and served alongside her husband, sharing God's truth with others. She was a very formative part in the early church in the book of Acts. She helps disciple young teachers when they come, and her and her husband work together to disciple them and help them teach better. And she is devoted to that ministry, to serving the Lord and the early church. When we have these things, what does it produce in us? Well, we also have a consistency in trusting God, in his truth, and in service to the Lord. Faithfulness is not just having faith that everything is going to work out. That is a huge part of it, having faith in the Lord, being devoted to the Lord, being confident in him. But it's also a faithfulness, a consistency, a dedication in our service to the Lord, to where every day we are serving him, we are honoring him, our life is devoted to him. Gentleness, when we are the fruit of gentleness, we put on meekness, humility, and a compassionate heart. Mary of Bethany displays this well. She is seen sitting at Jesus' feet in humility multiple times in her story. The first is she's learning from him. She's letting him lead her, guide her, disciple her. But then also, right before he goes to his death and resurrection, she washes his feet with costly oil out of her love and her reverence for him, to take care of him. So she shows this deep reverence and a gentle devotion to the Lord. And when we have these things, that looks like we also have a soft strength and a reverence. We want to serve the Lord, we want to love him, and we do it in this gentle, loving, kind manner. Last one, almost there. When we have the fruit of the spirit of self-control, we put on forgiveness, patience, peace, doing everything in Christ's name. Abigail displays this well. And when her husband is foolish and makes David mad and angry, her life, their servants' lives, are at risk. And she responds to this conflict with wisdom and restraint, which ends up preventing violence through her calm diplomacy. So she's able to exercise this self-control and rectify what could have been a challenging situation. You know, she could have responded in anger to her husband. She could have went out to King David and was very emotional. But instead, she showed self-control and she responded to this conflict in wisdom. When we have these things, it produces in us a wise restraint, which is led by the Spirit. And I think that is key, those two words. Wise, we're doing things in wisdom, but that it's led by the Spirit. Our actions are led by the Spirit, and we are letting him guide us in how to respond and how to act. Oh, that was a lot. But I think something that's really interesting about these lists is that a lot of these women can fit into more than one category. They display more than one fruit of the Spirit. They display multiple of the things above list. There's so many other women in Scripture who fit into these categories as well. And that's not by accident. That should be the case. Because we should be displaying these things, all of the fruit of the Spirit. We should be putting on everything in that list. Because we are on this process of being sanctified, of being more and more like Christ. If we look at the fruit of the Spirit and we say, oh, I'm a pro at this one thing, but I can't do the other things, well, then we need to reflect and say, okay, Lord, how am I faithfully walking with you and serving with you? Because if we are devoted to the Lord, devoted to our service of him, then we should be allowing him to grow these fruits internally in our hearts. And then we should actively be making that effort to externally put on the things listed in Colossians 3. I think another interesting thing is a lot of these women had growth in their qualities. You know, these women, we've went through most every one of them in depth in the last 2 years. And we have seen their stories. We have seen their faults. We have seen how they have struggled and how they have grown with the Lord. And again, that's how it should be. we have sin, we have our flesh, we have the devil that are trying to constantly pull us away from God. And so we should be growing in these qualities. Yes, we might mess up sometimes, and we have grace for that, but we should see a growth in these qualities, because the more and more we are seeking the Lord, we are seeking after him, wanting to grow closer to him, the more and more we will grow in these qualities as well. I don't think any of us can be perfect in one of these things. We can be really strong in them. We can be functioning really well in them. But the Lord still has work and growth that he can do in us. Just like all of these women, you know, they might have displayed these qualities really, really well, but I'm sure they also had things to grow in. And maybe they've already grown into the qualities, but they have more growth to do. And that is as it's intended. Because the fruit of the Spirit, again, it's a work that we allow the Lord to continually do in our heart with his Spirit. And then that list, it's an active thing. We actively have to put on those things above day in and day out and actively take off those worldly desires that were listed previously in Colossians 3. These lists are both an active thing for us. Actively needs our participation, actively needs us to walk in it. Our faith is not something that we can be passive about. When we are passive, that is where we start to slip in these areas. And just like we see with these women, we can be encouraged to display these fruits, to put on the things above, and to allow them to be a part of our story. May we be known by these things. May we walk in these things and have them encourage us, define us, and bring others to Christ through them. Amen?
Amen.
Questions, comments, concerns?
I just want to say that all of the women that you mentioned, man, the reward that they got from the Lord, it was amazing. Like, I'm just thinking about the one that made the room for Elijah, like how God blessed her, you know, mm-hmm. like all of them. Ruth, she was blessed to walk there. So just by obedience.
A little louder.
Oh, sorry, that all of them got rewarded after being faithful and trusting and obedient, having obedience for the Lord. They were rewarded after. God rewarded them with something amazing in their lives.
Yeah, that's, you know, the beautiful thing about following the Lord is that he's faithful to us. When we're faithful to him, he will, you know, provide for us and take care of us. And whether we see those rewards on earth or in heaven, he does have, you know, something for us, which is really cool. Any other questions? Are there any of the things from these lists that are particularly challenging for you ladies or easy for you ladies?
I just want to ask everybody, in your own opinion, you know, like, what is the essence of a woman?
What is the essence of a woman? Right?
Yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts?
Give me an example of what
why God created the woman. What is the essence of a woman?
Well, we were to be partners. The women are there to balance. You know, a man may have certain physical strength. Women, throughout history, have that internal strength. Women have to. Now we have more equality, but there was a time when, you know, the man made all the decisions. The wife had to support that. It takes a great deal of strength to just deny yourself and let somebody else, you know, be the leader. And I think that's one of them. But the other thing that women have, and not that men don't have compassion, but women are more nurturing. We're more nurturing in relationships and children, anybody. Mm-hmm. Those gifts, you know, are there, and I think that's, that to me, I see that as balancing. You see mm-hmm. a family, they're going to have two different personalities, and if they're really successful, they can live them together, those strengths and weaknesses that they have. So, I mean, that's just an artistic overview on my part. I'm definitely not an expert because I'm independent. I'm a driver. I'm a doer. It's hard for me to just sit back and say, oh, well, I'll wait for a guy to do it. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, but if you remember the woman, the Proverbs 31 woman, is she's out, making fabric, buying fabric, purchasing property, while her husband's doing the man thing. Mm-hmm. But she's managing her property, her workers. I mean, that's a go girl. You know, that's not someone that's just sitting around eating bonbons. So, the essence of a woman is, I guess,
it completes a man.
Well, I feel like it's when we have the fragrance of the Lord, then we're able to shower people around us. That's we're able to I just feel like men are in their lane, always in their lane, and a woman is so important to bring out their heart, to touch their heart, to remind them of their heart, to encourage them, because they're like a leaning up against the wall. They're hard, but here we are. We're the pink. We're the beauty. We're the beauty behind all that's going on. How many things we hear in history of the women behind these men leaders? The essence of a woman is
in every success there's a woman behind.
That's a godly woman.
Right. Yeah, I think if we just look at the story of Scripture, I think it paints a beautiful example of what the essence of a woman is. It starts in Genesis. It's not good for man to be alone. Man is not able to find, Adam cannot find anybody comparable to him in the creation. He has dominion over the earth, but there's nobody comparable to him. So God creates a woman to be equal with him, to help him have dominion over the earth, but to complement him, to support him, for them to work together. So men and women are created different on purpose, with different qualities, different strengths that are meant to complement one another. And then we see that displayed throughout Scripture. We see women when they boldly walk in the femininity that the Lord created them in, then they are able to make huge impacts for their family, for the kingdom of God. And when they fail in that, then they create a mess. I mean, we've gone, like I said, it's been 2 years I've gone through these women in Scripture, and we have seen time and time again when we allow our fleshly, our earthly desires to take over, then it influences those around the woman because the woman has influence on her situation. And at most of the time when she acts in her flesh, it influences them poorly. But when she acts in godliness and those qualities that the Lord has given her, she influences them in a very, very positive way. And so the essence of a woman, I think you see in those feminine qualities that the Lord has created for a woman. And every woman's gifts looks a little bit different. Nobody's going to look the same, and nobody's going to encompass the gifts perfectly. But we should all be striving to act in those. Yes, like Adriana mentioned, we went through Psalm 31 last month, and that woman is very active in her community, in her family. She is being influential. She is making change. And so regardless as if you are married or not married, scripture talks about how it's actually better to stay unmarried so that you can serve the Lord more devoted. But if you are to get married, that is good too. And then you have a family to serve as well. So both are good. A woman's not necessarily created to have to get married. The Lord may give her a unique gift of celibacy. But whatever situation she is in, she has been created to support, to encourage, to breathe life into that situation. You know, I look around at so many of the different places, even in our own church and our own families. You know, a family would not be the same without a woman. A woman influences her family greatly. And when a woman acts in the godly characteristics that he has bestowed upon her, she has the ability to literally make or break her family. She can lift her husband up, help him succeed in his callings, or she can tear him down by getting caught up in the worldly, fleshly, sinful thoughts, desires, questions, whatever it might be. Same thing with raising the children. Same thing even, you know, with the church. I think about our church and how many women are involved in different ministries and the touches that our women place upon the church. And the church would not be the same if it wasn't for women. So women are hugely impactful. And they have a unique calling, a unique gifting that the Lord has given them that is so, so, so influential for them to function in. And so that's the essence of a woman. A woman should be following the Lord with her focus on his calling upon her life and how she can serve and love the Lord by serving and loving others as well.
She agrees.
Yeah.
And I think that the Bible says that we are also our husband's splendor. And as you said, I think that it goes even beyond, like, you know, we are the bride, and it goes, like, wherever we go, we should represent the Lord, you know,
right.
not only make our husbands proud, but also the Lord
right.
with our actions and everything that we do.
Right. Yeah.
Morgan, explain, how do we rectify Abigail? It seems, you know, and I know the Bible called her husband foolish.
Right.
But how do we... I mean, she was looking out for her household, I understand.
Right.
It seems disloyal, like she was not loyal to her husband. So.
Right. I mean, so scripture makes a really interesting point on when there's kind of these moral situations. We see it in a lot of different women's story. It doesn't necessarily give its opinion. It doesn't say, like, Abigail was in sin because she went against her husband. It does. Scripture isn't clear on that. But I think the question that we're raised with Abigail is, you know, she goes to David and she pleads the case. She takes what's in her authority within the household. You know, I would assume she was in charge of the meals, of like making the household, you know, take care of that. So she takes in her authority. She has the ability to make decisions on the food for the family, on the meals, on this or that. So she takes that. She says, I have authority in this area, so I'm going to take this to King David to try to rectify the situation and to maybe save my husband's life, my servant's life, and my life. So yeah, maybe she shouldn't have went against her husband. Maybe she should have told him what she was going to do. We don't know how he would have acted. He was a very foolish man who was very rash. Didn't seem like he thought things through. But what we do know is scripture said she acted with what she had authority in, and it ended up well for her. And also, you know, she didn't go and marry King David right away. She went back home and she was still faithful to Nabal until he died. And then after his death, King David came and was like, hey, Abigail, I want you to be one of my wives. And so then she went to that. But I think, you know, it's a tricky situation that we see with a lot of our women in scripture. They stand up for something and where it's kind of like, was that morally okay to stand up for that? But scripture doesn't give us the yes or the no. And it's kind of, Pastor Wilson's talked about this on Sunday, like the question of what's the lesser evil type of thing, the situation. And so nobody knows if she should have approached it a different way. She maybe could have, but she didn't. And thankfully for her, it ended up working out well for their whole family.
Wasn't that the way it always goes? Because we can always feel like we're doing the right thing, and it may not be perfectly in alignment with the Lord, but He knows you were actually trying to do something right, and then it was out of step or something. That's so gentle to bring us back and teach us that that probably isn't the right way to go about doing something.
And I think that's why it's so important to stay close to the Lord and in your scripture. Because if you are not in constant communication with the Lord, if you're a little bit further from Him, if you don't know your scripture, if you don't know what it says, then when you are faced with a more morally ambiguous situation, it's harder to know what to do. You're acting in your knowledge, in your thoughts, in yourself. But when you are close to the Lord, when you are devoted to Him, when you are in constant communication with Him and you're faced with one of those situations, well, guess what? You've already been in prayer with the Lord all day. You've been talking with Him all day. He knows what's going on. You're solid about His word. Then you can make those decisions a little bit more easily aligned with Him. Because we're constantly going to be faced with these kind of ambiguous situations because of the world that we live in. We are called to be a light. We are called to stand up to the Lord. The Lord has standards for us that He wants us to walk in. And so we're constantly faced with what is the right way to act, to say, to respond, what should I do in these situations? And there's no way to know how to do those things unless we're close with the Lord, unless we're, you know, hanging on to Him. And who knows, going back to Abigail, she might have not been super, super close with the Lord in this time. It doesn't give us a ton of information on her spiritual life. But so she made the decision she felt was best, and she did exercise some self-control in that. But who knows how the outcome would have been had she been closer with the Lord, or maybe had she been further away. And so I think we're impacted constantly on those situations. Also on how our spouse is, what the situation is. So it's a tricky spot to be in, but I think, you know, the ultimate focus on our mind is how does this line up with God's word? Does this glorify the Lord? Am I showing His love? Am I showing His care? Am I bringing others to Christ? Or are my actions pulling them away from Christ? Are my actions tearing somebody else down? Whether that's your spouse, those around you, is that pulling them away from the Lord, or is it encouraging them to go forward? Because we are, you know, the life givers of the family. So are we breathing life into a situation, bringing them to the Lord, or are we pulling them away? Gail, you had something?
I'm just gonna share. My great grandmother was a blip on the map of life. She didn't have the privilege of having an education. Her mother died when she was quite young and was taken out of school, second grade. she had to be the one to nurture siblings, and do that. And then she finally was given away, and she was bought. Her father sold her into her first marriage, in which she had three children. And she made her living taking care of these children because this person was an alcoholic, died. Had the impact on these children and her faith, and she always, and the way she did know how to read, even at the second grade level, and that sometimes then they were better at reading than they are now in the second grade, but she would teach the others the Bible. That's what she had. She kept her relationship with Christ all through her life. She did her jobs where somebody needed home care. That's how she made her living. She didn't have an education to do other things. Well, in the lifespan of that, my younger sister is 20 years younger than I am, and she touched all of the children. Well, we all had very diverse directions that we went, but touched all of us. We spent more time with her than we did with any parents, or biological parents, if you will. She influenced all of us, that common denominator. And I believe she's the reason that my generation, my siblings and I, are walking with Christ today. She was a blip on society. You wouldn't know her, you wouldn't think, but she did other examples for me. I can remember being with her in any church she went to. They didn't make her walk, she would drive. If somebody new came to church, she invited them to come over after church. And all she had was lima beans and cornbread. That's what she was doing.
Yeah.
Her thing.
That's
what she did. It's always stood out to me. And she didn't mind. And the pastor, some people were afraid to go out and talk to the pastor, but not her. She'd go and say, "Pastor, come to my house. Please come to my house for lunch, for dinner, after church."
Apple don't fall far from the tree.
I can just tell you that those values, you know, I'll tell you what. Well, I didn't think you'd get rid of algebra. But I mean, some of the things you learn in school, many of the things you learn in school don't really help you as a person in life. Faithfulness is something that's a gift that we have. I've got friends that have had faith, and they've had nothing but challenges. But the faith has kept them through, and they don't go around saying, "I hate my life." They're still struggling with different things that go on. So I think, you know, as women, we're pretty strong, and in her case, she did more than a professor or a doctor or anybody could do because of her example. And she was pretty strict. She was strict with us kids, you know. We didn't get, she'd call us on. So I think we have that influence. And I always say to myself, as we were teaching Sunday school lessons, that the women were home with the children, right? Men were out doing carpenters, they're out in the field, they're doing this. So my guess is women were very influential in the Bible teaching and in God teaching God's word and building that within the family. I don't know. But just from what we read and what we know about how hard times were, the women had a lot of big role in that family, and especially a spiritual one. Even though the men were supposed to lead the prayer and they're supposed to do this. But I just believe, like, I keep thinking of Jesus. Mary did some teaching with Jesus. Not that he needed it, right? But she still had the role of a mother.
Imagining correcting her.
No, that's not what it's
right. Well, and yeah, scripture even says that's, you know, we have that authority to raise up our kids spiritually. So yeah, there's so much influence that a woman has, as Gail was saying. And I think we've seen over the last 2 years, I can't believe how long we were in this study, but I think the Lord showed a lot of cool things through our women of the scripture, and showed just how influential and impactful we are as women, in our families, in society, in the church, if you work in your job. Just everywhere you go, you are given the opportunity to influence somebody around you. And so the question that we are faced with is, how are we going to influence them? And I hope and pray for me that it's influence towards Christ. And I hope and pray that we all, you know, have a challenge, a conviction from the Lord to influence people in a positive way as well. So we will close in prayer, but feel free to keep this conversation going. This is a lot of good stuff. Come talk, ask questions when we're done. And then excited for Thanksgiving. Feels crazy that it's already, we're already talking about Thanksgiving, but next month we'll be here eating turkey on that Friday evening. Father, thank you so much for this time and for these women. What a blessing it has been to really go deep into the women in Scripture and to look at their lives, to look at how they followed you, how you impacted them, how they lived for you. I pray that you encourage us today, that you encourage us to really analyze our hearts, our internal state, to see what fruit of the Spirit we are allowing to take root, and maybe what things of the flesh show up or are even there right now, Lord. May the fruit of the Spirit overcome those internal fleshly desires, fleshly feelings that we have, Lord. And may it produce in us an external action towards you, Lord. May we actively put on the things listed in Colossians 3, those things from above. May our life be a reflection of you, Lord. May our hearts be a reflection of your heart. May we walk every day with the love that you have for others, Lord. We just want to serve you. We just want to honor you, Lord. And so we pray that you help us to do that, Lord. Help us grow in the areas that we need to grow in. Help us, encourage us where we are strong, Lord. And thank you so much for a family of sisters to come together to support one another in this. You know, it's so fun as we looked through all these women and we saw the different qualities that they had. I look here and I see all the different qualities that these ladies have as well. And what a beautiful picture it is when we are all walking in our strengths to serve you together, Lord. May you continue to grow us, help our heart be more and more like yours, grow the fruit of the Spirit internally. And just help us act for you and for your kingdom. We love you so much, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.